so we are talking about responding to the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just kind of help bring some context of what we're doing here. We started the new year off by let's keep the new year fresh, which was forgetting those things behind, right? And it was actually, you know, let's forget those things that are behind. Let's renew our mind, right? Let's encourage ourselves and others, right? And we said, let's speak the word and let's hold on to hope. Let's hold on to hope. The great hope. The great hope is one day, no matter what's going on in the earth, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming back. I'm starting to hear people talk about it again. You know, when I first got saved a long time ago, I'm showing my age, but a long time ago when I first got saved, you heard it all the time. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back,
yes,
right?
Yes,
you heard that all the time.
That's right.
You heard it all the time. You would go to a church and there would be a message on Jesus
right.
is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just point to the book of Revelation or Ezekiel or some of the Gospels and they would say, you know, Jesus is coming back. Just look at the signs of the time. There was best-selling Christian books. It was all the rage. Everybody talked about it. And then over a course of years, that kind of died off and people stopped talking about Jesus is coming back. But I don't know about you, but the Bible still tells us that Jesus is coming back.
Okay.
Right? So in that context of a fresh new year, God began to put on my heart that we need to respond to the Holy Spirit when He speaks, when He whispers, when He calls your name in the middle of the night and says, get up and pray. Are you ready to do that? I said, are you ready to do that?
Yes, Lord.
See, I believe that if we are going to be the church that God's called us to be, we've got to respond to those still small impulses from the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 20:27 did not go there last week, but I'm going to ask that we go there really quickly. Proverbs 20:27. I just want to look at this and we're going to pray. And we're going to go back to Romans 8 because that's going to be the context of our entire series here on respond to the Holy Spirit. But Proverbs 20:27, excuse me. That's where I want to start this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word has life. God, it's not important what I say. It's more important what you say. And so, Father, I pray that you would lead and guide me as I speak this morning. God, that you would speak through me. Bring a word in due season that will help your people to grow up into everything, to mature, to hear your voice clearer than they ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. Now, years ago, we used to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? You remember that?
Yes.
You know, you might have sang that when you were like 3 years old, right?
That's right.
This little light of mine, right?
Yeah.
It's a good song,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, as much as I love that song, truth of the matter is we got a big light on the inside of us.
Right.
When the Holy Spirit comes on and lights us up on the inside, we've got a big light. We have a responsibility to actually be led into what God says to do. He will lead you through that still small voice. Now, last week I talked to you specifically about, where am I here? Specifically, there were a couple things that I called your attention to in responding to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, a lot of times we're not tuned. We're not tuned. You know what I mean by that? We haven't tuned our ear to it. Now, these days, when you listen to music, most of it is auto-adjusted to whatever you're listening to. But there was a time, and I'm sure that most of you in here, if you ever had a stereo system, there was an equalizer where you could adjust how you heard something. You could adjust the sound quality coming in. You could adjust the highs and the lows. If you wanted to hear low, you could, you know, adjust it that way. You might have one little setting if you were listening to jazz, if you were listening to rock or pop, whatever kind of music that you were listening to. You had to adjust things. You know, as believers, we have a responsibility to adjust our lives to hear the Holy Ghost. But what ends up happening is we cover up that little light of ours and we kind of squelch it. How do we do that? By what you are feeding along. What you feed along. If you're just feeding along the news, if you're just feeding along, you know, whatever's the best movie on Netflix, right? Whatever, you know, whatever you're sitting there binge watching. If you're just feeding along those things, you will dull your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So we have to draw close to Him so that He can give us that direction. These are some of the points from last week. You've got to draw close to Him. Remember, I used the illustration of my brothers and sisters, my brothers that actually were up front, right? And they were the illustration of God giving the direction to Jesus, giving the direction to the Holy Spirit, and then me trying to listen. I've got to go draw near to listen. It's my responsibility to have that tuned ear. How am I going to do that? Through prayer. Through prayer. That's how you're going to draw close. Through prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So that He can give you direction. So that He can give you comfort. So that He can give you exhortation. So that He can even correct you. Because He will. He'll say, no, don't watch that. How many in here, be honest, and say, you've turned on something on the internet. You clicked on like one of those little reels. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, you better click that off. Any of you in here? Yeah. Or even a news story that you follow. It's like the rabbit trail. Follow this news story and then about 18 other links come up. And you follow that one. Holy Ghost, if you'll listen, sometimes Holy Ghost will say, uh-uh. Why? Is it wrong? It might not be wrong morally, but it might not be good for your hearing. It might not be good for your hearing. It might actually dull this little light of mine. Right? You might not be listening to the Spirit of the Lord that is inside of your spirit, directing you, leading and guiding you, giving you that still small voice. You see, there's so much clamor in the world. There's so much bam, 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 bam. And a lot of it is soul. How I feel. It's up here. And even with this crisis going on, it's the soulish realm that is attacking people. Giving us anxiety, giving us sleepless nights, people worried about nuclear holocaust, nuclear war, all of these things. Well, Jesus gives us an answer. He gives us an answer, and I was thinking about what He said over there in Matthew. Let's turn to Luke 21 real quick. Luke 21. This was not a part of my notes, so I just threw this in because as we were worshiping and praying this morning, this just kind of came up inside of me that we needed to kind of take a look at this. Take a look at this. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. In Luke chapter 21, verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. And He said this. He said, nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines, pestilence. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay hands on you, persecute you. And He goes on to say the persecution that was coming. And then He says this. He says, you'll be betrayed by parents, brothers, I mean, all of these things, right? He says, but not a hair of your head, verse 18, shall be lost. By your patience, possess your soul. Possess your soul. In other words, get a grip on your emotions. Right? Get a grip on your emotions. And he continues on to give them instructions about the coming of the Son of Man. Now, he ends this whole passage. Now, when these things begin to happen, verse 28, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh.
Thank you, Lord.
We see signs of what's happening. Jesus said, in this world you would have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus told us we were going to have trouble. We, at this juncture in the world, we have got, church, I'm pleading with you, we've got to tune our ear to the Holy Ghost. Quit being dulled by the world and its enticements. Quit being dulled by how you think about things. You don't have to think the way CNN or Fox News tells you how to think. We want to be kingdom-minded. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We've got to tune our ear to the Holy Spirit, and so that we can be the people that God is calling us to be. Now back over to Romans 8, because this is where the bulk of what I want to get across to you in this series. The Lord gave me a specific assignment for us that in Romans 8, and it's not just that we would, you know, get a goosebump, feel good thing out of this, but that we truly would mature in learning to hear the Holy Spirit. Do you know, when I fly on an airplane, ask my wife, the cabin door is barely closed and I fall asleep. Something about the pressure, that sound of the air and that hum of the motors of an airplane. I just get really, really relaxed. And I close my eyes and I feel my eyes get real heavy. Some of you envy me, I know.
Sure.
Okay, you know, because I don't care how uncomfortable I am, I can just kind of like lean and crane my, I mean, it could be tight space, and I can just kind of put my head over, and I'm gone.
Wow, that's good.
I mean, and if I'm not careful, I'll be drooling. Okay?
Okay.
Ask my wife, she'll tell you, she'll vouch for me.
She'll
vouch for me. So they were joking around, Pastor Michael and Pastor Christine were joking around, because, you know, Pastor Michael went with me to Winter Bible Seminar. And we were on the same flights, sitting near each other. And his assignment was, he was supposed to take a picture of me sleeping. I never slept. You know why I never slept? Because the Holy Spirit nudged me.
Amen.
I see this young man sitting next to me on a flight, 2-hour flight from Washington, D.C. And the Lord says, engage him in conversation.
Mm.
At first, I didn't think the kid was going to talk. But then he started to talk. Then he started asking questions. I started telling my testimony a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. And for 2 hours, I talked about the things of God with this young man, the next generation. He came from a Jewish background, but not really practicing. Asking questions about philosophy, asking questions about what happens when you die. 19 years old. 19 years old asking those questions. I'm telling you, people, we have got to hear the Holy Ghost when he says engage in conversation. I didn't have any sleep the night before. I would have rather slept, naturally speaking. But I am so glad. And now I'm even more glad that I obeyed the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying that to pat pastor on the back. I'm saying that as an example for you, that what does he tell you to do? To step out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. To open your mouth a little bit more than normal.
Amen.
I'm starting to be a lot more bold. Some of the people that I work with, I'm just opening my mouth. And sometimes if it's a Christian that's not going to church anywhere, I look at one of them and he knows every time I come near him. Because he's a child of God. He's just not going to church anywhere. And I look at him and you know what I go, you know my assignment is. And he looks at me and goes, I know what your assignment is. Why? He knows, because I'm going to say, yours. And he goes, I know. Your assignment is to get me back in a church that preaches the gospel. I said, you've got that. You've got that. And then I'll go 2 or 3 days. I won't see him. Then he'll come in. I'll look at him. And he's real big. He's real tall. I go up to him. I go, you know what my assignment is? I smile real big at him. I'm going to be bold in these days. I'm going to be bold and say, God, you have an assignment for me. Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? What kind of divine appointment do you have for me? If we would live like that, when you come in here, he might tell you to run.
Uh-oh.
Lord.
Okay.
All right, I'm meddling.
Yeah.
Right? Listen, step out of your comfort zone. If you're a quiet person in worship, step out. Listen, I'm not saying that you have to be noisy to be holy. We've seen that extreme too. If you've ever been around, listen, I 15 years, I was a part of a Pentecostal denomination. You can tell what's in the flesh and what's in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I'll tell you real easy. You want to know the real secret? Does it bring a blessing to the whole church? Back when we were Rhema students, there was a normal Sunday morning. I got to be honest with you. I've used this illustration before if you've heard me say it. My heart is that we don't have a normal service. What is normal? We're spirit-filled people. If you look at the book of Acts, they did not have normal services. We're talking about devils getting cast out.
That's right.
We're talking about people getting miraculously healed. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the vocal gifts being expressed, a message in tongues. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. How did that happen? That happened because a church was listening to the Holy Ghost. And they were ministering to the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't know. That sounds like it's going to get weird. It could. Let's just be honest. It could. You know, sometimes when, you know, I've heard ministers say this. When you have real fire, sometimes you got wildfire too.
Absolutely.
One time I was at a youth camp and a young man, he fell out in the spirit. And I think he started in the spirit. I do. I totally do. I really do. This young man, he fell out in the spirit at the altar time. And he's praying in tongues and he's down on the floor. And it's about time for him to get up. Yeah, he'd been down there a little too long. And when all the girls came around him, circling him up in prayer, and he's on the floor, and he saw all these pretty girls, all the pretty teenage girls were around him praying. I went over to him and I went, I called his name, I said, get up. This is a true story. You know what he did? He got up and brushed himself off. Okay, Pastor. Do you think he started in the Spirit? Yes. We're going to learn some things. But as we follow the Holy Spirit, you step out to find out. I was in a service. I'm getting to Romans 8. I haven't forgotten, and I won't keep you a long time, all right? But, you know, I was there on a regular Sunday morning, Rhema Bible Church. The timpani started the service. The choir came out. They started singing. The whole orchestra came up out of the pit.
Yes.
All right? And it was just a dramatic moment, and the choir sang, and they had normal praise and worship, and everything seemed to be going business as usual. Until the man on the front row, he got blessed. Something blessed him. And all of a sudden, this man took off running and worshiping God down front and then toward the back. And then back down front. And then he flopped over. And he's out. And Pastor Hagen, I thought, this is the only man doing this. Ye gads. Is he out of order? I was trying to learn. I was really trying to learn. I was saying, Lord, show me what this is. And the man, he just was rejoicing. Pastor Hagen looked at, steps off the platform, looks at the man, and he said, I know you guys don't know exactly what happened here. He goes, but if you knew what this man had been through, you would have taken off running with him. He was rejoicing over something he would had been believing God for a release on and had gotten it. The entire auditorium went into crazy worship mode. Everyone started worshiping and just spontaneously jumping up from their seats and just shouting out and praying in other tongues. And you said, that sounds like chaos. No, it was directed by the Holy Ghost. And that man was rejoicing over something he had been believing God for. What am I talking about? Responding to the Holy Spirit. Now, I thought to myself, what if that man didn't do that? How often do we cover up the least little light of mine, even in church? When we don't express our praise the way we ought to. When we don't give God a little something to work with. When we don't... Come on, people. You know, that when we don't give him something. He deserves everything. He deserves everything. In these last days, whether we have 10 days, 10 years, or 100 years, let's live like it is the last days. Let's live like our redemption's going to be drawing nigh tomorrow morning. Let's hear the voice of God when he says, talk to that person. He said, Pastor, I've already talked to them 3 times. No, the 4th time. How many times did Naaman have to dip in the Jordan River? Didn't make sense, did it? Holy Ghost might tell you to do something that doesn't make sense. Pick up that phone. Repair that relationship. But Pastor, they told me never to call again. What's he telling you to do? He's speaking. This little light of mine, let it shine. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Romans 8. Now we'll get there. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I know this is a different series than your normal. I'm used to trying to give you points and all of this, and right now I'm not. Romans 8. I'm just following what I feel like the Lord is telling us to do. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, when you rely on your soulish realm, you can't please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. Right? But you're not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you, Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, come on, people, we got a big light on the inside of us. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life, Zoe, the God kind of life, to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh or our mind, our will, our emotions, if you want to put it that way. But he says, but if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. There'll be death in your relationships, in the way your life works. It's not going to be Zoe, the God kind of life. You're not going to get the result if you're living in the flesh. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Verse 14, we love this verse as Spirit-filled believers because it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As we are led by Him, we are not driven by Him. He doesn't come and force you to do something. He doesn't come and force you to speak in other tongues. He doesn't force you to get up and run. He doesn't force you to dance. He doesn't force you to lift your voice and say, hallelujah, when it doesn't make sense. But he leads you in those things. And as we are led, says we are the sons of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Pastor, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. The first place to be led by the Spirit of God is in that time of prayer. Why? Because that's where you're drawing up close to Him. You're getting the direction. You're learning to hear His voice. The first time I ever prophesied, I was off. I didn't hear right. And it took somebody who loved me enough to pull me aside and say, Brother Doug, come here. After the meeting was over, they didn't embarrass me. Listen, you said something, I think I know what you meant. Well, what did you hear from the Lord? They asked me questions. And I said, well, this is kind of what I heard. They said, well, the Scripture tells us this, and so that part wasn't quite right, but I believe your heart was in the right place. And because they handled it that way, I wasn't afraid to prophesy again. I was able to prophesy. You say, what is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking the words of God, an inspired utterance to the congregation. It is a message that God may want to give to the congregation. It could be a message in tongues that needs to be interpreted by somebody who hears the Holy Ghost. And so we know that we're to respond to Him by drawing close to Him. Respond to Him for direction. Respond to Him for comfort. Some of you going through a bad time? He'll comfort you. He is the comforter. Hallelujah. He's the comforter.
Amen.
He's the comforter. When you're going through a rough time, He'll be there. He'll help pick up the pieces of your heart that have been broken over something. He'll be there to restore that. He is the comforter. He will exhort you and He will correct you. He will tell you, hey, child of God, daughter, son, you responded wrong. Go apologize. I've had to do that. I missed it. I've had to do that. Hey, I'm so sorry. I missed it. Would you please forgive me? The Holy Spirit is here to guide us and lead us, and we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, those inner promptings, so that when we are together ministering to the Lord, He can speak. He can speak those things that He hears the Son relaying from the Father. Right? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Remember that last week? Father God is giving Jesus things to say. He relays it to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gives it to us if we'll hear. This little light of mine, it's actually a big light, but we need to keep it shining bright, Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He's going to lead and guide you. Pastor, how will I know? How will I know? If you don't step out, you won't find out. And it takes faith. It takes faith to listen. Listen to the Holy Ghost. It takes faith to speak what He speaks. It takes faith to actually do what He says do. Notice what it says there in John chapter 14. John 14. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. The word another has to do one besides, one like the same kind. Oh, church. We talk about things like, oh, wouldn't it be great if Jesus was right here? Jesus is right here. Not me, not Doug, but the greater one who lives on the inside of me. And if we'll let that big light shine, the world can be a different place. We can combat racism a whole lot quicker with the power of God and love than we can any other way. I'm telling you. We can combat that on. Why? We the Holy Ghost will deal with it in you. If you're acting prejudiced, he'll deal with it in you. If you're saying the wrong, he'll say stuff to you. And you'll self-correct. You'll say, yes, Lord, sorry for that attitude. Sorry for that worldly concept that I was allowing to get into my head. No, come on. This is kingdom living. Kingdom living says, I listen to the Holy Ghost. I listen to, and I say what he says to tell me to say. And I speak when he tells me to speak. Because when you draw close, it's what's the most important thing? His voice and him being glorified. What's he going to do? He's going to draw people to himself.
Hallelujah.
Verse 17, the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world is not going to give you this answer. You're not going to hear this. Because it neither sees him nor knows him.
That's right.
But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Helper. I thank you, Father God, that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Father, will teach us all things, will bring to remembrance that which you have said, and bring us peace. And so, Father, I pray for your people today. God, those that are listening, those that are at home watching, those that are here, Father, that we would really respond in those little promptings that you give us. Whether it's to pay for the groceries, the person behind you. Whether it's to reach out and call that friend you haven't seen in a long time. You know, sometimes God's going to give you those promptings and a face is going to come up before you. You're going to see it. Not with natural eyes, but you're going to see that face and you're going to know, I need to pray for that one. Sometimes when we think it's just insomnia, it's not insomnia. It's the Holy Ghost telling you to get up and pray. Sometimes we just dismiss it as, oh, but I need to get my rest. best rest in the world is when you obey the Holy Ghost. He will supernaturally make it up to you. If he wakes you up, trust me. If he wakes you up to have you pray, you won't be dragging around like... You won't be dry. You'll be energized. You'll be like, man, God woke me up to pray. But see, a lot of us, we dismiss it because we're still carnally thinking. We're still soulishly thinking. Oh, that must be that I just couldn't sleep last night. Couldn't sleep last night because God was trying to bring something up to you to pray. The Holy Ghost was saying, hey, pray for this one. Pray for that one. When we were in the time of prayer, the reason how this whole Mark Zeckin thing came up is that I was praying with Pastor Michael Onruk in an auditorium full of people, and as we were praying, and as they were praying about the Ukrainian situation, Mark and Valerie's face popped up to me. And these words came out of my mouth. I turned over to Michael and I said, they're coming. They're coming to Mark. The refugees are coming to Mark.
Wow. Hallelujah.
And that was before we knew that they were coming to Mark. What is that? The Holy Ghost teaching, the Holy Ghost leading, and telling us things even to come. He will tell you how to pray. Glory to God. So, Father, pray for your people, God. I pray for your people today. Lord, that we would be ever more sensitive to the Holy Spirit in times of worship, in times of prayer, in times of reading the Word, in times, Father God, of even rest. God, that we would continually be in prayer. Father, that our words would be just filled with the Word of God, freshness coming from our lips. Father, I pray that you would give us right words as we walk through this new year and all the challenges that seem to be out there in the world. Father, you've still called us to be light, to shine forth that light that's on the inside. Father, I thank you. Thank you for that privilege. Hallelujah. If you're watching or if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the first step is to allow the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside. The way you do that is you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right now, just as every head bowed and every eye closed, we're just going to pray a simple prayer out loud. And if you're at home and you've never asked Jesus into your life, I want you to do it. I want you to just make that choice, make that decision to invite him in to your life. Just say it like this. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead. I receive his forgiveness and I receive him into my life right now in the name of Jesus. I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to reach out to us. We'd like to send you something and help you in your walk with God. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm just going to avail myself to pray for any individuals that are here. If you are watching online and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, please reach out to us. I'd love to set up a time where we can chat and I can pray with you individually. Right over the internet, we can set up a Facebook Messenger. We can minister the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will just make you even that much more sensitive to the things of God. I want to just let you know, next week we're going to be talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, what that looks like, and how do you receive the Holy Ghost on the inside so that you can be more sensitive to those little promptings when he tells you to do something. So encourage you to check that out next week. All right, let's go ahead and stand together. And we have our closing verse that we're going to go ahead and do. Speak it out loud. And if you want to give to the Ukrainian Refugee Project, please avail yourself. If you want to give your regular tithes and offerings to the local church, partnering with us right there on the same webpage, you can do that as well. Let's close by speaking this and praying this over our church right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.